This is Michael Ann Conley, and you are listening to Habits Into Health, offering information and support when you want to turn a problem habit into life-affirming behavior. This includes letting the body lead so your mind doesn't have to. In this show, we share a unique perspective for reducing stress in your life. All attitude is shaped by behavior, and behavior is based on the body. And that's why leading with the body rather than pushing through the mind is a very effective way to change habits. And also to support your recovery from addictions and just focus on personal growth in general. For this episode, I'll share something from a study at Yale University that suggests how women can deal with addiction to cocaine and even, well, maybe even alcohol and other drugs. It turns out that reducing stress is one of the best ways to handle these substance habits. So before we talk about the study, let's reduce some stress by tuning into ourselves in a sensory way. One of the best ways to reduce stress is to slow down. So regardless of what you're doing right now, do it a little slower. Maybe you're driving. Even if you're only going 25 in a 40 zone, slow it down. Perhaps you're walking to or from work. Pace it back. Maybe you're at the gym, on the treadmill. What's it like to deliberately slow down your pace? After all, what's the hurry? And if you're on a subway or a cable car, a bus or a train, or somewhere where you have no control over the speed of the vehicle, you can still slow yourself down. Maybe slow down how you're looking out the window. Or pace down your breathing a little bit. The whole slow food movement is based on the experience that we benefit more from slowing down our time with food than by rushing through the experience. During today's podcast, practice slowing down and noticing how you experience yourself. If slowing down makes you feel nervous or anxious, which it could, you don't have to judge this. You can just pace back a little bit. Sometimes we're just so busy moving fast that we don't have practice managing a slow pace. Slowing things down heightens our ability to notice more of what's going on, so we can become more attuned to ourselves. Slowing down gets us into ourselves faster, but it may take a while to get comfortable with it. In this show, I like to invite everyone to notice your responses without judgment. Today, the practice may mean slowing down your judgment of yourself, of how you're dealing with your stress-filled life. The first step in creating change is being attentive to what's going on. I used to move really, really fast, a lot faster than I move today. I was always on the run, trying to get somewhere. Who knows where? Does life sometimes feel that way to you too? As if you're late from the minute you wake up, so you're playing catch up from the get-go? I know this is true for many people. I'm thinking of the clients who come into my office, no matter what time of day, weary from rushing here, rushing there. Sometimes their appointment is the first time in the week that they will let down a little. In my women's group, we always start first with an experiential exercise that lets all the pressures and stresses of the day go into the background. Slowing down almost always helps to reduce stress. The speed that we can move reminds me of old World War II movies that I used to view as a kid. Even today, you can find films that have a kind of scene with old airplanes. It goes something like this. The camera is focused on an airplane that is standing still on the field, maybe rows and rows of airplanes. You can see the propeller blades, two or three blades usually, and you could even reach up and touch them safely if you wanted. Then the klaxons or the horns and whistles start blowing, and everybody gets into action, rushing to get to the planes. The planes start up and the propeller blades speed up. Before you know it, instead of seeing two or three distinct blades, you see what looks like a whirling wall. You know those blades are going so fast that there's no way you'd reach up to touch them. You'd get injured or worse. And that's what happens the faster we move. We create a wall. The study I mentioned earlier was about a different type of injury or worse, the impact that cocaine has on the brains of men and women. When people use cocaine, they experience a winding up of energy. They get a heightened sense of energy or restlessness, and their activity level and speech can speed up. Usually there's a feeling of excitement that comes from this drug. The heart rate and the blood pressure pump up, for instance. When someone does this often enough, there's a crash that causes withdrawal effects like exhaustion, fatigue, physical aches and pains, mental confusion. And so people then turn back to the cocaine to get rid of those discomforts. And it becomes a vicious cycle. And yet the long-term destruction of brain cells and other organ systems makes use of this drug very dangerous. Although the study didn't include methamphetamine, this drug is also a stimulant with similar effects on the body. And the study did include alcohol as well, but people who are just social drinkers. But I can tell you, as a health professional with experience working with people who have addiction issues, cocaine is often partnered with alcohol because alcohol amplifies the euphoria, also amplifies the damage to the liver, and this is also true of methamphetamine. By the way, you're listening to Habits Into Health, where we explore 21st century approaches to habit change, addiction recovery, and personal growth. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you can find out more at habitsintohealth.com. The study, which was reported in Science Daily in January, compared activation in the brains of people who are cocaine dependent with social drinkers. The researchers were curious about how the brains of men and women differ in creating craving for cocaine. What they learned is that women are more susceptible to cocaine cravings when they're stressed, whereas men are more susceptible when they view cues that merely relate to substance use. This means that the standard addiction treatment protocols that focus on reducing a person's exposure to a drug won't be enough for most women. Those approaches include staying away from people, places, and things, like drug-using friends, locations where drugs were used previously, and drug paraphernalia. And that isn't going to be enough for most women in reducing their desire for the drug. The first author of this study, a fellow named Mark Potenza, he's a professor of psychiatry at Yale, he said this, quote, "There are differences in treatment outcomes for people with addictions who experience stress-induced drug cravings and those whose cravings are induced by drug cues," end quote. So people who are cocaine dependent have greater activation in areas of the brain linked to addiction and motivation, but women's brains were more activated by stress. What does this mean for you if your problem habit is cocaine use? If you're a woman, the chances are that stress reduction work that addresses your cravings for the drug are more likely to help you succeed in stopping your cocaine use. If you're a man, then cognitive approaches that are more typical of the 12-step process based on Alcoholics Anonymous, or I would even say more those approaches that diverge from 12 steps because of concerns about its spiritual focus, like rational recovery, for instance, that those would be more effective. Everything I know about women in recovery suggests that this has been known anecdotally for a long time. That's why women's self-help meetings usually involve permission to share about your life more broadly, while men's meetings often draw the line around talking about anything that isn't directly related to the alcohol or drug use. Women know that the stresses in their lives make them more susceptible to their drug of choice. So, if reducing stress is beneficial in dealing with cocaine addiction, I sure don't know why it wouldn't also be an important skill to practice in dealing with any habit that causes problems for yourself and others, especially if you're a woman. take a minute and consider a habit that you'd like to say goodbye to. Where in your body do you experience any sensation that stands out when you consider this pattern of behavior? Just tune in for a moment and notice where you feel yourself physically. You actually don't have to do anything right now, except just notice your physical experience. Slow yourself down. Do you tighten somewhere? Or maybe loosen somewhere? Check out what's going on in your forehead or your jaw. The jaw is a place where a lot of us hold tension or stress. Or your shoulders, there too. Your hands, your belly, even your legs into your feet. You might not notice anything in this moment, but maybe sometime later today or tomorrow, over the next few days, you can give yourself a chance to be attentive to what's happening physically in you. Perhaps when you're engaged in the habit you'd like to say goodbye to. Or maybe when you're just sitting quietly and noticing what's happening physically, whether it's connected to a habit or not. Just doing this can help you slow down. Now, sometimes when people are attentive to what's going on physically, it brings up anxiety. It doesn't reduce stress. So there are some other ways that you can slow yourself down. For instance, when you get home, take a hot bath. It's slower than a shower, and it also has a different effect on your body. It can help you slow down. Or take a little time to breathe in. Take a deep breath right now. Just take a deep, long, deep breath without strain or struggle. And then when you exhale, extend the exhale even longer. Just take your time. It's okay. Even if you're in a hurry, pacing back how fast you're moving, even just a little bit, can help you reduce your stress. You're likely to only lose a few seconds, but what you'll gain from slowing down a little bit is invaluable. In Habits into Health, I bring in more of this perspective and other ways to reduce stress and support you in creating strategies that work for you, in creating whatever change you're looking for, in whatever habit that you have that's creating problems. Please do consider visiting habitsintohealth.com. You can make comments there on that website because what you're learning can benefit everyone. And you'll also find articles, and there are other resources that could be helpful. You've been listening to Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.